Hey everybody, welcome back to Doing the Thing podcast. Today's episode, we're going to talk a little bit about writing your own success story. And what does that mean to us? So typically in the course of our days, Phil and I, we connect with a lot of people. And what they're typically doing is maybe they're in a career transition, maybe they just got laid off, maybe they're just dissatisfied with what they're doing and looking for a change because maybe some of their goals aren't being met. Maybe some of their needs aren't being met or expectations or anything like that. So what we do as coaches, we help them get some clarity on some of those things. And part of that is what would you do if you were successful? What would that look like? And so the title of this episode is going to be Writing Your Own Success Story. And we're going to talk a little bit about some of our own background and how we got to where we are today and some of the questions that we had to ask ourselves. Right, Phil?
Yeah, indeed. And I think it's a great topic and a meaningful topic. And, Jason, I'm curious, for those of you who are just tuning in for the first time, you may not know that Jason was a super secret badass counterintelligence agent and had a pretty significant military career before he stepped into the things that he's doing now. And so I'm curious, Jason, when you were transitioning, what kinds of things did you think about and go through? What kinds of questions were you asking yourself that led you to the entrepreneurial path?
Well, I think it kind of goes back to some of the things that we talked about last episode. I really focused on some of the things I didn't want in my life anymore. And a lot of that was the bureaucracy that came along with the military, with the intelligence community. What's that?
Really?
Yeah.
I said, nuh-uh.
Yeah, right, exactly. Who wants a bureaucratic career all the time? And I also asked myself, did I really want to be known for this? Do I want this to be in my eulogy? Taking it back to last episode, some of the things that we had asked ourselves. But then went on the positive side. Am I going to be able to have the freedom and flexibility continuing to do this career for another 20 plus years? Am I going to be able to enjoy that freedom, that flexibility, and being able to take time off when I needed to, work from home when I wanted to, travel when I wanted to? I mean, travel's was a given that was going to happen, but whether it's going to be enjoyable or not, that's kind of questionable. So am I going to have enjoyable travel in the future? Is it going to be somewhere other than, Africa or Iraq or Afghanistan, or is it going to be somewhere kind of cool? I don't know. So I had to ask myself those types of questions and be very honest and realistic with myself on what my next steps were. And if I was willing to really kind of bet on myself. But I think that's part of entrepreneurship. You got to trust yourself and you got to bet on yourself. So I made the choice to bet on myself. It was a rough one. It was a scary one, but hey, it turned out pretty good.
That's awesome. And my story is a little bit different. For those of you that don't know, or for those of you that are just tuning in, my last corporate role, I was senior VP of an international music publishing company, and something happened in my last year, which really got me asking some questions of myself, and maybe those of you listening can relate to this. So I'll back up a few years, and I'll say that my team was responsible for sales and marketing across the Americas, so that included Canada, U.S., Latin America, Brazil. And my long-term growth strategy, having assessed the Brazilian Latin America markets, especially even through Central America, was to expand those markets. So I sold that plan 3-4 years prior to me departing. Everybody bought off on it. And in fact, very, very successful for us. We grew 200-300% over the next couple of years. But the downside to the plan, which I had included in my initial proposal, was that these economies are subject to currency conversions. And there's going to come times when currency devalues in that market, and we're going to have to be responsive to those changes. And sure enough, that happened in my last year in music publishing. So The Brazil economy, as one example, the conversion rate went up to about 4.68 to 1. Now imagine the effect on a contract that you sign at 2 to 1, and then now their cost doubles to you. You know what kind of phone calls you're going to get. People are going to say, I either have to cancel or please work with me. Our currency has changed, blah, blah, blah. And I understand why the CEO took the position he did. And at the same time, I don't, because he said, well, you need to go out and figure out how to replace those losses to those markets. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to take a step back and think about some things. So I thought about, you know, I just met my wife in 2017. I thought about all the travel I was doing. I was never really unpacking the suitcase, just moving things in and out. I thought about that confrontation that we had after having many, many successful years, putting money in the owners of the company's pocket, getting a little bit of a bonus every year at Christmas time. Now, all of a sudden, I'm under the gun for something that was completely out of my control and with some pretty tight timelines to turn that situation around and come up with answers, which we all know there aren't any. When you're building something, sales momentum-wise, it is an aggregation of steps you take together. You just can't, unless you just land a big contract, you can't replace millions of dollars when you don't expect to be hit with them, right? And so all these things got me thinking, and I said, you know what? I want to become a writer, which I'm proud to say I've published 5 books now. I'm working on book 6. I want continuity in my life where I'm not just waking up in a hotel room, not sure what sitting I'm in because I've been in 5 in the past 2 weeks. And I didn't want that pressure of someone else's expectations affecting my future. I wanted to build equity in something of my own. And I thought it's helpful to share those stories for those of you listening, because here's the challenge, right? And Jason, speak to this in just a moment, but I'll say, when I made that decision to explore additional possibilities, I started looking externally first. I hit the job boards, I hit the fractional sites, I started doing networking, blah, 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 blah. The reality was, until I stepped back and really asked myself, what do I want life to look like? What do I want to be when I grow up? I wasn't going to find the answers externally. They were all inside of me, right? And that's what today's about. But tell me about what went through your mind in that evolution as well.
Well, I definitely did some of the external things that you did as well. I had just finished up my master's in project management, so I was doing some of those job boards and networking events and kind of trying to figure it out. It was all about, what do I want to do when I grow up? And so going out there and looking at jobs, they just were just not appealing to me. Coming from somewhere on the military side where you're taking orders and you're taking responsibility for a lot of things, like you said, that are outside of your control with high expectations, I was kind of burnt out on that, because, you know, it shows in corporate America, you know, you work for somebody else and you're lining their pockets and you're making money for them and you're building their equity, but you're not really getting a whole lot in return. Maybe you'll get a 401k match. Maybe you'll get a bonus. None of that stuff seemed appealing to me. And it's even less in the military side, because, hey, you either get a pension or you don't. Do you go 20 years? No. Did you invest in your TSP? Whatever. That's what you get. You know, so it was already in my mind that I had to take control. I had to take matters into my own hands, or else I was just going to be in that hamster wheel. And I just don't see myself as being that individual in the hamster wheel.
No. Well, knowing you as well as I do, I can say you were definitely not that guy. And, you know, I liken it to, all right, so imagine the job that you accept. You're excited. You're looking at where it's going to take you into the future. And then 2, 3, 4 years down the road, you realize you haven't gone anywhere. You've actually been running on a treadmill. You're still in the very same room that when you got hired, you stepped into. And what can happen unless we're reflective? And we're going to give some tips on how to do that self-reflection. But what can happen if you're not careful is you step off that treadmill only to step on a completely new treadmill while pointing your finger back at the old one and blaming it. Well, and the challenge that you have is, until you have stepped back to really say to yourself, where am I trying to get to, and put that in writing. And we'll give you some tips on how to do that. Until you've done that, you might end up on that hamster wheel, on that treadmill again.
Well, we make mistakes. Everybody makes this common mistake. It's, you know, using our own formula for success and applying it over and over again. So we've all probably heard that saying, what got you here won't get you there. I mean, that rings true, especially when you're trying to find some fulfillment and you're trying to find that thing that's going to fulfill those needs for you.
Yeah, indeed it is. So, you know, let's, I imagine, listen, if my almost 6 year ago self, 2017, my 6 year ago self would have picked up and listened to this podcast, I would have been nodding my head, turning the volume up and going, man, these guys get me. They really get me. And some of you listening might be having that same experience. And if you are, first of all, you're not alone. It's funny, you know, we each have our own unique set of wants, needs, and expectations. And because they are unique to us, we sometimes assume that they are only applicable to us, when in fact, that's not the case. We find so many times, two calls I had yesterday, I've hit the ceiling, I can't get any further. So that need for advancement. Two other calls I had yesterday, I feel like I've got a rubber stamp in my hand and all I'm doing is stamping papers. There's no challenge. I'm completely bored. Another person, I literally travel 52 weeks out of the year. I can't take it anymore. Those things feel unique to us because we're the ones experiencing it, but they're not uncommon. So what do you do when you're stuck? What do you do when you're making compromises, Jason? What are some of the things that folks listening can sit down with a piece of paper or a Remarkable 2 tablet or their computer and, you know, make some plans around?
Well, you got to start writing down those goals. You got to define them, you know. You know, there's four basic concepts, and I think we've talked about this before in the podcast, but it's probably a long time ago. But you got to think about what those income goals are. You got to think about that lifestyle goal. But backing it up, but that income goal, that's kind of a short-term goal, in my opinion. And not everybody wants to make. I've been learning this more and more lately. Actually, been seeing this more lately. Not everybody wants to make hundreds and thousands of dollars every year. Some of them actually want to at least replace their salary and have some more freedom. You know, so what does that goal look like? You know, kind of thinking of that. And of course, you know, we could kind of break these down as we go along, but those lifestyle goals, wealth goals, equity goals. So breaking it down into those four basic concepts is very helpful.
Yeah. You know, one of the points I want to touch on is that equity goal, because, all right, certainly we need income because we have a certain lifestyle to maintain, bills to pay, college to plan for, blah, blah, blah. So there's a level of immediacy to income, right, that has to be considered. Lifestyle as well. If you're working 180 hours a week and, you know, don't sleep at all, that's probably not a good life. If you don't see your family, your kids don't recognize you when you come home, that's probably not good, but that's an immediate kind of thing. But when we talk about wealth and equity, all right, so if you play this thing out in your head and you say, all right, I'm accepting a job, maybe I'm making $100,000 a year, I'm going to have a 401k, there's a two-sided match to that for the first 5 years or whatever. If I were to stay with this company for 5 years, what would my equity picture look like, right?
Yeah.
Statistically speaking, the average job lasts between 3 and 5 years now. So the opportunity to make it through that full contribution period, you really have to ask yourself and weigh yourself, because there are some nasty words like merger and acquisition, right?
Yeah.
And reduction in force. But where equity comes into the equation is, just like in a home, the value of the asset that you have minus any debts involved in it is your equity portfolio. And arguably, are you really building equity in a 401k, or could you build equity more successfully in a different vehicle like rental property, like businesses, whatever that may be? And asking yourself, is that a long-term goal I have? If it is, there are many ways to accomplish that type of goal, and pursuing them may be something that goes on that list for you.
Yeah, and I think more often than not, it's a buzzword. I hear it almost with everybody I work with. I want some passive income. So how do you get passive income? Well, you got to build equity into something. So I think equity is an important thing, important topic to kind of cover and talk a little bit more about too. You know, just like with our businesses, our career paths, you got to build an asset in some way, shape, or form that's going to take care of you. Whether it's beefing up that 401k, getting matched. No, most employers don't do that. Most employers don't even have 401ks, believe it or not. So is it that? Is it investing in the market? Is it starting something of your own? Is it the franchise thing that we talk about often? You know, what would that be? And you kind of have to ask yourself, what do you want out of it?
Yeah, and even if we step a layer or two back from that, just asking the first question, if someone asked me to describe my level of happiness in my current career, how would I answer that question? And if the answer is less than thrilled, right, then you've got to peel back the onion and start to ask yourself why. What is it in that income, lifestyle, wealth, and equity equation that, you know, may not be working for you? How many compromises and concessions are you making? Are you working nights and weekends? Is your phone always ringing? Are you traveling a lot? And is that okay with you? Do you get happiness from those things? And if you don't, maybe that's something to leave behind in your next iteration. And really going through all those questions that are underneath that first question can point you in a direction of saying, well, you know what? If I had a crystal ball and I had to look into the future and see myself at my happiest point, here's what that future would look like.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, what would I, you know, it's just a simple question. What do I want more of in my life? And what do I want less of? And a part of that analysis of that current role is not just taking out the things that you don't like and analyzing that, but also analyzing the things that you do like and how you can complement them and how you can steer yourself towards something that's more enjoyable for you. And it's more towards those skills that you enjoy leveraging rather than being in a meeting all day or doing business travel all the time.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I'll share a quick story. Way back in the day when I was in food service, I was promoted to district manager, but I was turned down for the VP of sales role. And when I asked why, the answer I got was, you don't know what you don't know, which is just a cheap sellout answer, right?
Yeah.
Especially when it's from your boss. You want your boss instead to say, well, listen, we need to work on profitability. I noticed when you manage your team XYZ, these are areas you can work on. Let's look at them in your next review. But what I got was, you don't know what you don't know. And I was like, you know what? I'm either going to leave this company or I'm going to create something out of my role. And I took a good hard look and I said, profitability is an issue for the company. So I started to do some diagnostics into my team. I realized if we shifted our product mix, I could improve my district's profitability by 3 to 4% every quarter. And it was attainable. And I proved that to myself. So then I launched into training and building support systems for my team to teach them how to bring new products in, how to present them, how to profitize an account, all those types of things. And you know what? We did it. And by way of that, I was promoted to regional sales training manager for the company.
That's kick-ass.
Yeah, I sat in the room with those VPs that I didn't know what I didn't know and couldn't achieve. I was in those meetings with them, and it led me to a career of sales training and development. So my point in the story is sometimes the answer to your career is right where you're at. I think you owe it to yourself to step back and say, how can I affect the change in this environment to make myself closer aligned with what I'm looking to accomplish? And if the answer is you can't, well, then it's time to do some of these other things we talked about and begin exploring possibilities, I think.
That makes a lot of sense. And on top of that, I mean, we can also look at some of the near-term dangers that we have. You know, it's almost like doing a modified SWOT assessment on yourself. Just analyzing your dangers, what are some of the opportunities that you have, and what are the strengths that you can leverage? You know, dangers, what are your top three? How are you going to mitigate them? Those opportunities, what are the top three opportunities you have? How are you going to make them better? How are you going to complement them? And the strengths, how are you going to continue to be in a spot where you can leverage your strengths?
Yeah, because when you put all this self-reflection together in a great big pack, it is super empowering. As you and I both experienced in the decisions we made years ago to do what we're doing, once you're clear on where you want to go, once you're clear on the things that are potential obstacles in your way and those things that you can leverage and take advantage of in terms of your skill sets, once you've got all of that in place, you become a momentum, or there builds a momentum behind you, I should say.
Absolutely.
That can be unstoppable. It's an empowering exercise, and that's why I'm really glad we took on this topic today, and I hope everyone listening got as much out of it as certainly I did hearing Jason's contributions.
Yeah, absolutely, and hopefully if you do like it, you share it. Maybe leave us a review. Let us know what you think. Certainly, we can revisit this topic. I mean, we're just barely scratching the surface, to be honest. This is just kind of like that 10,000 foot view on some of these actionable items that you can do when you're starting to look at that next step.
Outstanding. Well, great session, my friend. And thank you all for joining us. And we look forward to seeing you on the next episode.